Bound.
Welcome back to The Book People, where I interview people whose lives and careers revolve around books. I'm your host Aishwarya, and today we are going to talk about book covers. So I've always been so curious about book covers because I know nothing about designing or visual art. But as a reader, it's the first thing I notice in a book, you know, when I'm deciding what to read or what to buy. And I love how covers, they don't just tell you the title of the book, but they really tell you what to expect from a book, you know, like what genre this book is, whether it's a serious book or a funny book. And I really, really want to know how designers are able to sort of capture the essence of a book in the cover. So today, I'm talking to Harshad Marathe. He's an illustrator and storyteller who has designed some brilliant book covers that I absolutely love, like Prayag Akbar's book Leela, Each of Us Killers by Jenny Bhatt, and so many covers for Perumal Murugan's books, like Rising Heat and Trial by Silence. And he also designs magazine covers, and he has illustrated some children's books as well. So we really break down this designing process from when he gets a brief to how he makes the final cover and how involved are publishers and authors in this entire process. And he's a freelancer. So he also talks to me about what it really is like to be a freelancer in the publishing industry and how he builds his connections and decides which projects to pick and how all of this has been impacted now during the pandemic. If you need help with editing your book or getting a professionally designed book cover, you can reach out to us at Bound, email us at connect@boundindia.com, and we'll get you all the help you need in getting your book publishing ready. But right now, let's come back to Harshad and learn everything we can about book cover designing. So let's tune in. Hi Harshad, welcome to The Book People.
Hello, happy to be here.
And my first question to you is about the designing process. So, you know, how does it all happen? How does it start? So, you know, do publishing houses approach you with a new project? So how do they approach you? And who exactly from a publishing house approaches you for a project?
Many different ways in which it can start. Yes, usually it is a publishing house that approaches me, and or very often it is that. And usually it'll be an art director or the art director of the publishing house. So Indian publishing houses, generally they have like one art director if they have an art director. Some don't even have an art director and they should. But anyway, so the art director will email me and say that this project seems like a good fit. Can you take it up? Sometimes a designer will also do it. Like the art director will delegate this work to a designer that's working under the art director. And that designer will contact me. And sometimes an author will find me or has worked with me before or has heard about me and will contact me, or the author will tell the publisher that they want me to do it, and then the publisher will get in touch with me.
Do you also get, queries or proposals like this from self-published authors?
Yes. I have been getting more and more of those lately, in fact, where they've seen the work I've done and they're like, I want this person to do it. And then they are self-publishing or they are getting published by an independent press instead of a big publisher. You know? So that's been happening more and more. I started off by getting a break with big publishers, and now it's diversified into all kinds of publishers.
That's great. So once you decide, that you're doing a project, once you sign on to a project, how does the next part of it work? I mean, do they give you a brief or do you get on a call with them? Do you always end up talking to the author as well? Like, how is the idea behind the book cover communicated to you?
Usually from a big publisher, there'll be a brief. Like they will have, the editor has made a brief and the art director has put his inputs in it or her inputs in it, and they send it to me. But sometimes it's more informal where I just talk to the author. Very often there's a phone call between me and the art director or a phone call between me and the author. There's no like streamlined process for like it has to happen this way. It helps if there is a brief, because what a brief does is that all the information, all the relevant info or requirements from the publisher side are on an email, which I can find in one place. So that helps. But very often, if I'm working with a smaller publisher or directly with an author, then there can be a series of phone calls. The manuscript gets sent to me, or usually I read part of the manuscript, like chapters from the manuscript, etc. Sometimes they know what they want. Sometimes they don't know what they want. Both are okay. Mm-hmm. Both are a part of the job. When they know what they want, it can be easier. Usually it's easier because there are constraints, like this is what they want. And within that, I can experiment and I can. But when they don't know what they want, then I kind of have to go to them and ask for more, like ask questions, ask them how they feel about, like how they envision the cover being. Even if they don't know what they want, it's like, what colors do you see? What themes do you see? What are the important things about this book, about the story? And then I read the story. So that can also happen. So it depends.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine how challenging it must be, because you're not just sort of trying to capture, say, one still or one image from the book, you know, like you would in a movie, but you're trying to sort of also capture the essence of it, or you're trying to capture certain themes of it, you know, or you're trying to capture like the mood. Exactly. Yeah. You know, like if it's satire, then how do you show how do you show on a book cover that, you know, a book is humorous or a book is satirical versus like a serious book?
Yeah. Some books are very literary. Some books are kind of like fun, casual, quick reads. Age group also matters a lot. Like what's the target audience? Is it a young adult book? Is it for children? Is it for adults? So all of that has to kind of, the cover has to attract that audience to it. So that's something.
So how do you do that? As in, you know, because even when we look at book covers, we sort of see similarities in book covers in terms of genres. Like when you look at a book cover, you can tell that, okay, this is this genre book, right? Like this is a literary fiction, this is a romance, or, you know, even like this is a children's book. So as a cover designer, are there sort of like some guidelines in place or some things that you use which are always sort of followed to make sure that you're sticking to a genre?
No, not at all, actually. No rules at all. It's about kind of absorbing the material, like the story or whatever the, if it's a novel, absorbing that and letting that, whatever I get from that, come out into the sketches that I make for it. And of course, the person that I'm working with, the art director or the designer, that person, it's happened a few times where that person, like, you know what, this is nice, but I don't think it's going to speak to the audience that this book is targeting. So that can happen. So it's a good thing to have someone who you're working with who understands the market. Now, I understand it to a certain degree, but someone at the publishing house who is speaking to the marketing people of the publishing house and speaking to the editor, they're getting insights and inputs from other people, right? So it's good to have that point of contact who works with me to make it happen.
Do you have specific genres or specific types of book covers that you like to design based on your experience?
I think I like working on fiction. And besides that, there are themes that kind of really interest me. Like I really like history. I like science fiction. I like fantasy, even though I have not worked on these genres. Actually, have I? No, I don't think so.
Fantasy with like a lot of mythical creatures, like Lord of the Rings.
Yes, Harry Potter is like totally imaginary, right? Hmm. I like that kind of material, but I haven't worked on it so much. So anything that's fiction is totally up my alley.
When I've done a publishing course in Canada, and there, you know, I mean, we had to design book covers just to see what it is like, and they were very, very poorly done. So we just had to sort of try it out to see what kind of thinking goes into designing book covers. I think nonfiction, in order to show that it's sort of a serious book, they do tend to be much plainer, like the book covers, and they tend to focus more on sort of the type, like you mentioned, and sort of the name, and making sure that the name or title of the book sort of stands out and is not lost. And so they usually do tend to be plainer. That's something I've noticed as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be like that. Like I'm sure it's possible to work with illustrations for nonfiction as well. It's just not as prevalent. Like I'll be all for it. Just But then, like, for example, like from the top of my head, I thought, so if there is a nonfiction book about the functioning of satellites, like in space, and I go on some imaginative leap of making a like fancy ass space station with all kinds of weird alien spaceships around it, that's not going to work, you know? So I guess a nonfiction book puts in limitations of sticking to certain references and not flying off the handle and doing crazy things, which maybe reduces the fun of it just to a degree.
But talking about, you know, the artistic part of it, when you're designing, when you're illustrating these covers, sort of how much of you are you able to put in the cover? Because there is this brief, because there are certain guidelines, because, you know, you have to make sure that you're capturing the essence of the book or the story in your cover. But how much of you, in terms as an artist, are you able to put in the book? Like, do you have a particular style, or do you have sort of particular colors, or, you know, specific things that you like to work with?
None of it is deliberate. Like the style or the colors I like, or the kind of drawings, the line quality, the shape quality, all of that just comes. That's just how I make art. That's, you know, so none of it is deliberate, and it's really not about me. So I'm not really trying to put any of myself in it. It's just there, right? Like, no matter what I do, I'm not escaping what I do, right? I'm not going to be able to escape my own style or my range of styles that I work with. So I don't stress about that at all. And it's not about me anyway. It's easy, in fact, for me to work on these projects because I'm not representing myself. I'm doing it for somebody else's project. And my job is to bring it out as best as I can. So it actually makes it simpler. While if I'm working for my own project, there are no deadlines. The standards are sky high. I'm never satisfied. No story is good enough. No drawing is good enough. So let's not even go there. So it's really, it really helps when the publisher says, this is the author, this is the story, we are publishing it, we want someone to make the cover. Do you want to do it? I'm like, yes, because then it's not up to me. Is the story good enough? Is the author good enough? Is this good enough? It's like, it's all of that is just not my problem at all. I just want to make the best possible cover for this product. That's all, you know, it's simple.
No, I love that because I think I really agree with that, because then you have a structure, right? Like, you've already been given some sort of framework. You know, these are the boxes I have to tick. And this is like, whatever I'm doing, I have to do it within this framework. And then someone else is also telling you, okay, this is good enough. Now stop working on it.
Right? Yeah.
So you can move on to the next project. Like, there is closure there, which I completely understand, because like, I, as a writer and as a poet, you're just never happy with what you're doing by yourself, right? And you can always go back and say, you know what, actually, I think I should change this. Or you can go back to something that you've done like 3 years later and be like, what was I even thinking? This is trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which can also happen because you're sort of growing as you're sort of doing more artistic things. So I definitely agree with that. That's like really interesting. So do you have a favorite book cover that you've designed, and why is it your favorite?
One favorite. So what's the thing is that, you know, art can be very spontaneous, but art can also be very planned and organized and meticulous and deliberate. And usually a project works out as a combination of these two things. Like, even though I prefer it to be spontaneous, it doesn't always work out in a spontaneous way where I'm just like, I take this brush, I take this paper and I do some things and it just works out.
Yeah. And it's perfect. just magically appears the best thing you've ever done.
Yeah. So that kind of a book was Prayag Akbar's Leela. It just appeared on paper like that. Like, there was some.
Yeah, I really like that cover.
Thank you. So I just spoke to Prayag and I got a sense of what he wanted. Took a piece of paper and I painted this wall and like basically most of the cover was done. It was traditionally done, the wall on paper. Mm-hmm. And then I put it on a computer, put some layers on top, made the sky. So it was fast. It was spontaneous. The author loved it. The publisher loved it. I was satisfied with it. So And it was, yeah. So I think it's not just about how something is received. It's also about how well I rate it, how much I enjoyed making it. So all of that goes into it. And I can say I've enjoyed many, many things, but all of these factors together, I would say is Leela. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, when you said you were satisfied by it, I was like, okay, that's the most important thing, because that is rare.
Yeah.
To be satisfied with your own work, you know.
Yes, yes. That's a big, that's the most important thing. Yeah.
So when you're designing a book cover, you know, how many sort of versions or iterations does a cover go through before it's finalized?
There can be quite a lot. So, but then for that, to make sure that that I'm not doing a whole lot of work, I kind of split the project into stages. So in the beginning, it's just sketches, which is like maybe I'll send 3 or 5, sometimes more, but around 3 or 5 sketches, different directions in which this book cover could go. The art director can say, okay, I like these two directions. Can you develop it a little bit more? Then I develop it, both of them a little bit. And then finally we stick to one. And then we push ahead on that. And then, but then if it happens that the art director is like, no, let's not go after we pick a direction and we've gone ahead. And the art director says, no, can we go back and pursue some other direction, some other sketch? So in that case, then they have to pay more. And there's approval behind every step. So I send sketches. One thing is approved. Then I move to the next stage with that. That gets approved. Next stage. And then they're like, no, can we go back to... So then they have given approval. So then it's fair that they pay more.
When you're sort of being commissioned by publishing houses, in that case, do authors get any say in, you know, what book covers are there? Or has it ever happened that an author, you know, might disagree with the publisher in terms of what they like in the book cover? Has that ever happened?
Yes, that happens. Some authors are not interested. It seems to me like they're not really interfering. Like Perumal Murugan's books, I've done many of them. I have not really heard from the publisher that Perumal Murugan is saying this or that. While many other projects I hear, the art director will forward me the author's email saying, hi, this is nice, but you know, this book is not so serious. Can it have more color, for example? You know, so the author will have things like that to say. And there has been one occasion, I won't name who, I was commissioned to do a cover for a very famous book by a very, very big author. And the author said, and this was a reprint of the book, of a famous book. And the author said, oh, no, not for my, it's a very nice cover, but not for my book. I want to stick to the old cover. So, and then I got a kill fee. So an author, very, very famous authors have that kind of weight. They're like, no, they can just say no, or they can just say, yes, I want this, absolutely this. While debutant authors, they give feedback, but they don't have that kind of weight.
Right. That's interesting. So how long does it take you on average to design a book cover? Like, how long does the design process take from, say, getting commissioned to sort of deciding the final cover?
Depends on the publisher's timeline, honestly. It can get done within 10 days to 2 weeks. Sometimes I've done in the past.
That's fast.
In the past,
I just assumed it takes like a long time.
In the past, like my first few projects, I had to do, I think I finished 5 book covers in like a week.
That's really fast. Okay.
Yeah, that this was early days, and I was, they gave me this project, and this was for Puffin. It was these like Tales of Wit and Wisdom. It was like all of them had a similar theme, all of the covers. So there wasn't this thing where we have to explore a style. It was just like, this is the style. But still, it was a lot of work. I was very tired. And it's not recommended to give such little time. It's just that the deadline was such for that project and I managed. But generally, I would say 10 days minimum it would need.
But I mean, even 2 weeks is a really short time. In my head, I was thinking because there's so much back and forth, because there's so much feedback, I was thinking at least a month. So it is like really cool to know that it's, you know, in such a short time period sort of covers can be made, and that must require a lot of back and forth, you know, and a lot of very quick feedback as well, right? Not something that you can sit on and think about for a day or two as an editor or as a publisher as well, in terms of reverting back to the book designer, right?
Yeah, that's very true. So a job being finished so fast depends as much on the publisher as it does on me, or like a fair amount. It depends on the publisher's response and how fast they are at making decisions. Yeah. Honestly, if they have a tight deadline, they will ease up on their feedback also. Like they're like, okay, we need to finish this in the next 2 days.
They'll be like, yeah, this is good. Go ahead.
Yeah. If it's good enough, it's good. It's like that.
So you're an illustrator, you know, and I saw that you've been an art teacher and you've been an art handler and you've done sort of all of these different things. So how did you get into, you know, designing book covers in the first place?
Totally. It's just what happened. Like, it's not like when I finished my master's program, I did a master's in illustration in New York. And it's not like I was thinking, okay, I'm doing this to become a book cover designer, book cover illustrator. I was like, everything was fine. Like, book covers were good, magazine illustrations, children's books, paintings, location drawings, comics. I was down for everything. It's just that I got my break from HarperCollins and then from Penguin, and it flew from there. Like, and the other, like some things worked out well. Some of the directions I wanted to take worked out well, while others didn't. I like haven't yet worked out. So that's all it is. There's nothing else.
But how did you get that first break? Like, I'm really curious in the sense of, you know, for freelancers who are starting out, like, did you reach out to publishing houses and then HarperCollins sort of happened to get back to you? Or did someone at HarperCollins, you know, find your portfolio or your profile somewhere and sort of reach out to you? Like, how did that happen?
So the very first one with HarperCollins, it was, I know someone, a friend, he works as an editor in HarperCollins. He told the art director that I have a friend who's an illustrator, and he showed her my work and she liked my work and she got in touch with me. The next one, I was introduced to Penguin's art director by someone online. And that person, like Penguin's art director, liked my work, sent me something to do, liked what I did. And then once these two things happened, people started finding me by themselves. So I also reach out. I don't know what the success rate of me just randomly reaching out to art directors in the US and Europe especially. The success rate of that has been maybe almost zero.
Okay.
Mostly it's just been people who found me. Like, they already want me to do it. They write to me, and even art directors from other countries, they write to me and I'm like, yeah, sure. So it kind of has worked out by having a strong online presence, by having a website that looks good, by having projects under my belt where I'm showing what I can do and promoting myself for whatever, you know, on social media. Those are the basics. And then writing to clients, I do it. You have to. I try. I keep trying. But I don't know how much of that has really helped, because I...
But I really want to know, because you said that you've worked with so many publishers, you know, outside India. Can you give me some number as to how many publishers you've worked with, like international publishers?
Not so many. 3-4. Yeah. I'm working with one right now. So yeah, it's harder to crack into that market. It's easier to get in here because I have a network, right? Like, people recommend me. People who know people who work somewhere in one of these places. They tell them about me. But a random person emailing you saying, hi, I want to work. Because they get a lot of emails. Our directors get a lot of emails. And what they're looking for is reliability. And like, if someone comes recommended, that's better. Rather than, there are many people who have good work. Right, there are hundreds and thousands of illustrators who have good work, but is this person reliable? Is this person good to work with? Can this person follow briefs, stick to deadlines? Is this going to be a good experience? And can we form a good working relationship going ahead? So these are the things that art directors are more concerned about, because they have so many things to handle, so many projects to handle, that they're looking for relationships. So emails don't work.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think, you know, cold emailing or cold calling as such doesn't really work, because they don't know you. And, you know, they can't really gauge much about you from that, right? Definitely recommendations, word of mouth as well, right? And also, in that sense, maybe repeat clients. Because I'm sure once you have built sort of that working relationship with art directors, with editors, you know, and they know that this is how you as a, you know, freelance designer works, then they'll sort of also be able to come back to you with projects, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like you work with a publisher or with a client, and you do a good job, you do it on time, they're happy, and that person will come back. That client will come back. They'll want more. And then, and now, like I said, like authors ask me to do it. So authors ask for me. Other people who see my work tell the publishing houses that they want me. So then that also helps.
That's great. So in the industry as a whole, how much do you think, you know, how much does the book cover really matter? Do you think in terms of either, you know, the book's popularity or the book sales?
But I'm a very visual person. I know many people who are not visual at all. And so I don't know. I don't know how much of an impact it has. But it's certainly the face of the book, right? Like when, if you think of a book, you're going to remember how nice it is or how much you enjoyed it. But you'll also remember the cover somewhere. Like you'll know that in the back of your head, you'll be like, this is the face of that book.
I think for me, it's a combination of the book cover and the title. Because I feel like the name is also really important, you know. Sometimes,
if a
book has a very interesting name, the name will stay in my head, you know, to the point where I can later go and Google it and see what the book is about. But I think it's a combination of the two in some way, like visually a combination of the two, obviously, because the book title also appears on the cover, and how it appears can be very interesting. But also, I think, you know, if you're like just looking things on Amazon, then just the title in itself can also be very interesting.
Definitely. Yes. I agree.
So what are some of your favorite or like book covers that you've really liked? I mean, they can be your own or they can be covers designed by someone else that have really caught your interest.
I mean, I will not name my own, obviously.
You can.
No, I don't want to. This designer whose work I really like, Pinaki Day. Pinaki Day is this. So I'm talking about Indian designers now.
Of course.
Pinaki Day makes some beautiful covers. I don't even know how he does it. Like he is an illustrator also, but he's also like, he works with photographs. He's also obviously a very, very good designer. I really like the work he does. And there are some illustrators, like Indian illustrators, whose work I really like. So a lot of the people, the art directors I work with, they don't necessarily reach out to other designers or illustrators. They just handle the job by themselves. And I guess I'm naming people I know, and I've seen them work, like Gunjan Alawath from Penguin. He's the art director. He does beautiful covers. Amit Malhotra from HarperCollins. I like his work a lot as well. So, yeah, I mean, I like a lot of people's work. I like a lot of different illustrators, designers. So it's really hard for me to pick out these are the top three, top five. But yeah, there's a lot of good work happening.
And, you know, you mentioned that you have illustrated children's books. So what was that experience like? Because I know that you illustrated Muezza and Baby John by Anita Nair. So what is doing that like? And, you know, how does that process work? Like, are you given the entire story and, you know, do you sort of create illustrations based on that? Or do you get to work with the author and the story sort of moves together? How does it work?
So that particular book, I worked with a designer from Penguin who was given this work by the art director. So she was given this job to work with me and with Anita. So that person acts like an art director on the project where she's the meeting point between the writer and the illustrator. And it was a very big book. It had some 50 illustrations. And so what they did is that they decided which parts of the book should get an illustration, which of these should be double page spreads, which can be single page illustrations, which can be spot illustrations. And that was kind of discussed and conveyed to me. And yeah, the author kept sending kept sending the story in batches. Like it wasn't fully finished at the beginning, I think. And then, yeah, and I kept, and then same thing, I sent sketches, sketch was approved, and then I made the final illustration. But yeah.
So as a freelancer, you know, what are some of the challenges you face in terms of, you know, managing the brief, making sure everyone is satisfied, including yourself, and, you know, like making sure you're capturing sort of the essence of the book or any other kind of challenges? It can be like payment, it can be getting projects in the first place.
In that order, in reverse order, getting projects can be a challenge. It took a while to take off for me to start getting regular work. So in the beginning, it's difficult. You have to hang in there. Keep trying. Yeah. Then what did you mention before that? Getting paid. Yeah, that can sometimes
getting paid on time. Getting paid enough.
Yeah, getting paid on time. Getting paid enough. Getting paid enough is the biggest issue in India. It's tough. And this is the reason I reach out to clients in other countries, because it's hard to get enough in India for the work you do as an illustrator or a designer. Getting paid kill fees, like good responsible art directors and publishers will pay kill fees. Some may not, and you have to ask for them. If you're not very assertive, you don't ask for them, then you feel all bitter. So that's the other challenge, you know. Besides that, managing your own stress mostly. If being confident and managing your own stress. So these are all internal things. Like in the beginning, I was like not even confident. Can I do this? Can I actually do a book cover? For example, in my early years, maybe early couple of years, someone reaches out to me. This is the book cover. How much would you want for it? I don't even know if I should ask for a fair amount, because I'm like full of doubt. Can I do this? Will I be able to finish it? Will they like what I do? So like, I feel like maybe I should lowball them or something, you know, like say that, oh no, you can pay me less or something, you know, you're in that frame of mind in the beginning.
Yeah.
So getting that confidence, realizing that you're good enough, you can do it, that you can learn and grow as you do it, you know? And then no matter what, even if you are confident, every project will initially have some stress before it's approved to a certain degree, before you start feeling good about what you're making. That's a big barrier.
Right. Well, that's so interesting, because I didn't think of it in terms of, you know, I agree with the lowballing thing. Like I can imagine, and I'm saying all of these things without ever having done any freelancing work or been an artist, right? But I can imagine how you would want to lowball, because also it might feel like, okay, if I quote less, then I'll get more projects.
In the beginning, I did a lot of work for very little money, and it just does not do a lot for you. Maybe you want to do it if you want to get some published work into your portfolio. Or if you're like me and you struggle with personal projects sometimes and you need constraints, you know, like I said earlier, where you're like, this is the subject, this is the story, you're making a project, you're making an image for this. Because if you don't have that, nothing's good enough, right? So you may want some of that in the beginning, but as soon, like, get rid of that, get rid of those clients as soon as you can. Clients who are not paying well, just put your foot down and say, this is the minimum, is what I would tell other illustrators who are, you know, starting.
That's great. I think that's great advice. And I think a lot of, you know, illustrators or even freelancers need this kind of advice. So thank you for that. But so on an average, how many projects do you end up doing in a month or in a year?
I don't know. I guess between 15 to 20, and it depends on what a project is. So there can be like a magazine feature that has 4 or 5 illustrations. So that's still one project. Moez and Baby Jan had 50 illustrations, but that's still one project, you know?
Yes, true.
And so also the amount they pay is different. Like one project is paying you 20,000 rupees. The other project is paying you 1 lakh, but that's still one project, you know?
Right. So you said 15 to 20 in a month or in a year? Because you didn't specify that.
Okay. A year. No. I would not be able to do 15 to 20 projects a month. And honestly, I don't even know if it's, maybe some years it's 10, some years it's 20. And it depends on the size of the project. So like maybe the year when I did Muezzin Bibijan, I think for a span of 3-4 months, I was not taking up any other work because I couldn't, you know, that book itself was a lot of work. I couldn't take on any additional work.
Okay, let's talk about the pandemic. What has that been like in terms of for you as a person, for you as a freelance illustrator?
So pre-pandemic, I was like a backpacker. I was traveling all over the world, mostly South Asia, Southeast Asia, because Europe is too expensive for me. I went there and it bankrupted me and I came back. So that's how I know.
Okay.
And then, yeah, anyway, so I was here and I really started focusing on my work more, started thinking more seriously about my career, which I've been a little bit happy-go-lucky and, happy to get what I get. But that changed because of the pandemic. I started putting in more thought. I started reaching out to clients. Started doing a lot of self-directed projects, paintings that I've been doing over the last year, paintings on paper. So I got a lot more serious because of the pandemic. And then the work that I did get, and I am fairly lucky. I got a lot of work during 2020. And I put in a lot of work, a lot of my heart into that work. I wasn't distracted by anything. I was a lot more serious about it. So I feel like I've done okay despite everything this year.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that.
I think being stuck in like a house, I mean, there's just so much that you can do. And there's just so much also that you can get distracted by. Not you per se, like even me or anyone else, right? Like there's just, I have found that there's just so little else to do other than work, that all I'm doing is work. And then the challenge is the opposite, which is how to stop working. You know, how to get sort of that balance of, like for me personally, I mean, I'm not saying that's the challenge for you. But for me personally, it's been sort of how to make sure I stop working after a period of time and do other things, you know, whatever those might be.
Yeah, this happens to me when I'm in the middle of a project and I'm like, but I don't know if it's a bad thing. Like when I'm in the middle of it, I kind of get really engrossed and I do take breaks. I do take breaks when I'm working. But yeah, like I'm thinking about the project all the time or yeah. So I don't know if that's a bad thing. Anyway, my projects, like if it's a book cover, it lasts for a limited time and then it's done.
Yeah.
So I have to get used to these surges of work, intense work for some time and then a few weeks of no work or very little work. So when you have the work, just go at it, enjoy it, absorb yourself into it. When you don't have it, absorb yourself into whatever else you want to do.
That's true. There is this sort of ebb and flow that you have going on.
Freelancer's life.
True. So do you think the pandemic is going to have sort of a long-lasting impact on the kind of books that are published or on publishing as a whole?
I wonder what's going to happen to print overall. Is there going to be, like, I don't know, more e-books? I haven't really seen a huge shift yet. I mean, it depends on technology also. And I don't know. Like images that are three-dimensional images or moving images on covers. I don't know. There's a lot that could happen, but I don't think we are there yet. Let's see.
But in terms of book covers, you know, because you're talking about physical books and I started thinking about ebooks and audiobooks, because sometimes they can have a different cover. Has that ever happened to you? Like, have you been ever commissioned to design only a cover for an ebook and not the physical book, or, you know, design something different like that?
I have done, I think, a couple of covers for ebooks, but it's not that the cover for the ebook was different from the printed book. It's just that the book was only an ebook.
Right.
There was no printed version of the book. So yeah, besides that, I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about your reading habits. I'm not going to ask you what books you have read recently, because I don't want to do that to you. But
yeah,
what are your favorite genres to read in general?
Oh, I like fantasy fiction. I like science fiction. Anything that's completely unreal and as far from reality as possible, I enjoy it. Like, yeah, I don't know. The real world bores me. I live in it. So
no, I agree.
I want something very imaginative. I want lots of, I want action. I want violence. I want mystery. Yeah, I like those kinds of themes. I like graphic novels a lot, like books that combine images and texts. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Are you planning on working on any? Have you worked on any? I mean, I'm not sure if you have, but like comic books or graphic novels.
I did one comic for something that I, a project that I don't remember actually what it was called. I did something, yes. And I've made one-page comics by myself, but not, they're not really. One is published in a zine in America. The book that I did for UNHCR, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, High Commission for Refugees, that was partly a comic. Like it was some illustrations, some comics, that kind of a book. So that's something I've done. And yeah. But yeah, I like to do it. It's just that it's very effort intensive. And it would need a budget like that also. And otherwise...
Would you do it as a personal project?
Absolutely. But then it's never good enough. The story is never good enough. So if I get past that, if I find something I really want to say and the story is good enough, or I just suck it up and find something and do it, it'll happen. I would love to. But yeah, let's see. When.
Okay, so I have like a few questions which are sort of rapid firey. So this is the last few questions. So if you can just give me quick answers for them and then we can wrap it up. Okay. All-time favorite book.
Kakol by Kiran Nagarkar.
How about one book cover that you like?
So like I mentioned Pinaki Day earlier, he has done a book cover called The Scent of God, and he's done a few versions of it. All of them are gorgeous. Yeah. There's also Gun Island done by Penguin Random House. That was done by Gunjan. So both beautiful covers. Yeah.
Okay, great. And one source of inspiration.
Yeah. Also like it depends on what really speaks to you. Like, mountains really, really speak to me. Like, they just put me in a different zone. So just being there inspires me. I like certain kinds of... I like mountains. I like vegetation above a certain altitude. I like the smells above that altitude. I'm an altitude kind of person. So, like, when you cross 1,500 meters, everything changes. The air changes. The insects reduce, which is great. The kinds of trees are very different. Yeah, so that also really, like... I enjoy being there. That's inspiring for me. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Harshad, for joining me and for talking to me about all of these different things, because I have really never had any perspective about, you know, book covers, about illustrations, about how all of these things really work. So you've given me a lot to think about.
So that was Harshad Marathe talking about how mountains are his biggest source of inspiration. I relate to him so much when he says that as an artist, it's really difficult to be satisfied with your own work, because I really feel that as a writer. What about you? Let us know in the comments, or you can DM us @BoundIndia to let us know what you think and what your experience as a writer or an artist is. As you know, we're Bound, a company that helps you tell your stories. And if you need help with getting your book publishing ready, with editing or designing services, then again, you can DM us or you can email us at connect@boundindia.com. If you want to know more about publishing and where it's headed, download our free research document called Demystifying Indian Publishing, and the link for that is in the description below. Thanks for tuning into The Book People. I'm Aishwarya, and I'll be back next week with a new guest and a new question to answer. Until then, keep reading.